All right, for the mic, I'll say it again.
You need your first few sutras. And we finished page one and did the first two sutras on page two. Okay. And we're going to start with Ura Nuraparaha. This has to do especially, there's other applications also, but especially for the Guna Vritti chart, for understanding what is the Guna letter of Ura and Ura. So here it is. Here's the sutra. And if you notice, the number of the sutra is 1151. So it comes right after Stane Antaratamaha, the preceding sutra. And that preceding sutra that says, in reference to the Stane, right, you're going to put the closest, the audacia will be the closest, especially in terms of the asya, of the place of of enunciation. So here, that's very simple if we... Well, let me write this sutra first. So 1151. Uran Raparaha. If I break this sandhi, it's uhu an, pratyahara an, and then the bahuvahi ra paraha, ra paraha, ra dash paraha. Uhu an ra paraha. Do you remember the declension of pitra, or ra ending nouns? In the genitive and the ablative and genitive, its pitra would become pituhu, right? Or kartra, right? Would become karutuhu. In the ablative and in the genitive. So here, if I were to decline ra, it becomes uhu. Because just to kind of understand, if I have pitra. Pitra becomes pituhu. That ra changes to u plus the visarga, right? So if I want to decline the letter r, it becomes uhu in the ablative or genitive. So uhu an raparaha. This is sixth case. This is first case, and this is first case, okay? So this is going to be the audacia. That the audacia is put in the prathama, in the first place, in the first case. The stani, the thing that's being replaced, is put in the sixth case. Right? So here you got, so in the place of u, there is un. An is pratyahara. What is the pratyahara? An? Of the Maheshwarani Sutras? Ayun. So an is a-i-u. Right? So an in the place of u, raparaha, is followed by ra. So if I take it as a bahuvahi, ra para means comes after. Ra comes after. So the u is replaced by an, for which there will be ra following, ra paraha. So look at this translation. When a letter of an pratyahara, okay? When a letter of the an pratyahara comes as a substitute, that's audacia, comes as an audacia for ra, it is always followed by ra. Ra means refa.
So, I'm sorry, can you go over what ra paraha means?
For which has ra followed, which the ra is after. Ra paraha. And it's in the nominative also. An is in the nominative. And raparaha is in the nominative. So an, for which ra follows. Ra is after. Ra means Repha. Mm-hmm. Right? So you see, I mean, they did a good translation. When a common, when a letter of unpratyahara comes as a substitute for ra, it is always followed by ra. So let me give you the context for this. Say in the, if we use the guna vriddhi, okay? What is the guna? Let's just go through this real quick so I know that you remember it all. What's the guna and vriddhi of a? We always say except the a keeps its own guna and then the vriddhi is a. What about e? What about u? We've just used up all our letters. What about ra? Okay, now, how do we get that r? Because there is nothing, right? There is no r letter. So how do we form it? Well, you have to go back to the previous sutra that says stane antaratmaha, right? You're going to have to take in the audacia has to be as close to the stane as possible. What is the closest? Antaratmaha means the closest. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and asya is the primary thing that we look at first. So in terms of asya, in terms of the sthana, the place where the pronunciation takes place, like guttural, palatal, etc., mm-hmm. you have to pick the closest. So now of the guna letters, we have a, a, o. These are our guna letters we have available to us. So of these guna letters, which is going to be the closest in terms of asya? It has to be a. If you have to pick one, it's going to be a, because this is going to be kanta, right?
Yeah.
This will be kanta talu. This will be kanta ostya. Hey, Bill. Hey, I'm teaching a class, but I'll be free in about an hour. I'll call you back. About an hour. Oh, call me. If I don't call you, call me. Bye. Okay. So, of these choices of guna letters, the one that is closest, because the most pure is just guttural, right? It will be this one. Even though, ra is a murdanya, right? This is a murdanya letter. But still, this is closer than these two. These are complex. This is guttural.
Yeah.
Guttural labial. Guttural talu. Right? Kanta talu. And then
kantosha.
Okay? So now, but now we know that it's otter. We know that the replacement is otter. How does it become otter? By uran raparaha. When an unletter, ba'i'un, replaces a ra, then it will be followed by a ra. An unletter which replaces a ra is ra paraha, is followed by a ra. So that means this a is replacing this ra, so we have to add r. Same with this, the vriddhi. It's going to be the same. You know, because, right? You're going to have a replacement of an unletter. Why it becomes R, I have to look that up in terms of sutras, be a sutra for it, why this is R. That will take on the R, though, by the same Uran Raparaha. So far, so good?
No. Oh, okay. I need
half
a second.
Okay.
Give me two.
But I'll give you two.
When a e u replaces r,
replaces
r, it is always followed by r. So over there,
that's right.
A is replacing. What is
this a?
Yeah.
Is replacing r. Right, because if I say
replacing r.
Well, because it was going to be taking the guna, iko guna vriddhi.
So it takes the guna for
ra. If we say iko guna vriddhi,
right,
that's
right.
Going to be for ik letters,
right.
Guna and vriddhi.
Right.
There will be sutras that say for this ik letter, guna. So then the guna letter is going to replace the ik letter. Right?
Okay, so that's what we're calling the replacement is what is the guna and vritti for ra?
But not just that. It'll be whenever there's an audacia, the audacia is what replaces the stani.
Right.
Whenever an audacia is enjoined upon a stani, an audacia which is enjoined upon the stani which is a ra. Okay? So now an audacia has been enjoined on the stani.
Right.
Which is ra, a ra stani. We'll see ra ill in a minute, okay?
Uh-huh.
Then that audacia is going to be stane antaratamaha. The audacia, because which audacia? Right? Say if you say a guna letter, for instance, there's three guna letters. Say, because there's a lot of sutras, they'll say in the place of it, guna. In the place of it, vritti.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, here are the vritti letters. That's what I needed there. I just filled in a blank there.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the vritti letters that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the guna letters.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
The
vritti ra daich.
Right.
So we already know the vritti letters. A, A,
right.
O.
Right.
We know the guna letters. Adeng guna ha seka sutra.
Right, right.
A, A, O. Okay?
Right.
So now, say you have something that, a sutra that says, in this situation, guna. For the ik letters, guna.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
What if one of the ik letters that they're talking about is r, is
right.
Repa?
Right.
Okay? Then in that case, which of the guna letters are you going to use?
The closest one, which
yeah.
would be the a.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But then if you use the a, you have to bring in this.
Oh my God. So it's really, you can't do, this doesn't make sense without the prior.
You have to, like, yes, there has to be a sutra. Like say, in this particular one, the audacia is going to be a guna or vritti letter.
Okay.
You got it? And the first two sutras are really important. Vritti, ra, right? Vriddhi, at, adaich. Okay? Ading, gunaha. Okay, so they're only giving these letters. In those sutras, these are the only letters that are given.
Yeah.
So, but we have more. We have and able to deal with. So what if the guna letter, guna or vritti is enjoined on one of these two?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Then we have to pick by stane antaratamaha.
Right.
The closest guna or the closest vritti.
Right.
Okay? And so what is that going to be when this is our choice?
Mm-hmm.
The closest is going to be a or a. Right? That's where I had that lapse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's going to be a or a as the vritti letter. But, uhu an raparaha, right? If an un letter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Replaces the, is the audacia for the stani ra, then raparaha.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then it really goes in two steps. So when we are saying, when we want the guna and vritti for ra, the first step will be to say, well, okay, if I want a guna for it first, I pick the closest stani, depending on and then after I get the a, then I have to apply the uram rapaha. It says because it's an a, then okay.
That's right. And you know, there's other instances where when we get into word formation, where a or a, like, let me just give you an example that I don't really want you to make note of because I can't take it all the way through. But right, pra, which means to fill, it becomes pur. Where does that ara come from? Purana. So now the prayer becomes u, and then by uran raparaha, that r is added. Because this is not just a, it's a e u. So if an a e u is enjoined in the place of a ra, then that will, short or long, then that a e u, savarna, the savarna letters, has to take the ra. So it's not just for the a. This is an example for when an a follows in guna vritti, because what is the stane antaratamaha is going to be a or a. But there can also be a word formation where an e is the audacia for a r, or an u is the audacia, the replacement for the stane r. In that case, too, you're going to add this r to the e or the u. Okay? Clear? Now, a little addition to that. In Uran Raparaha, on first blush, there is no room for dope. However, by a, I believe it's a, the Katyayana, which is the, like a Vartik Vritti on, Katyayana Vritti or Vartika, I'm not sure what it calls itself, but it's a very, very well known one that we always refer to. In fact, I have it in my room. There's, they will make little points of clarification. One point is this, that ra and il are considered savarna. Even though that's odd, nevertheless, they are treated as though they're savarna. Right? So if they, so il will be included in ra. I can read you the little paragraph on this, it's kind of interesting. But it's important to know, because if it's not concluded as savarna, we have no way to get to this. Okay? So, if you, if ra includes la, because it's considered, these two letters are considered as savarna. Okay? Everybody remember what savarna means?
They belong
equal, yeah. Like, yeah. Like there's 18 forms of a, right? There's 12 forms of ra, 12 forms of, those are all savarna letters, the ku letters. We're going to have a sutra for that today. Okay, so now, that's one thing. So, savarna. Okay. The other thing is that, and this is, let's see. Let me remember this. Oh, here it is. Ra. It is followed by ra. Okay? Followed by ra. But they're using this ra as a pratyahara that includes la. How? If you go ha, ya, va, rut, okay? And lun, remember this? In this whole Maheshwara Sutras, there's only one where the A is considered as an it letter. The A of Lun is nasalized. Remember that? Even when we pronounce it, we don't do anything about it. But the A is nasalized. Therefore, if you have Ra, it includes Ra and La. Even though the nasalization is not showing up there.
So does this rule work for la? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
This rule is applicable.
Right. Yeah.
It's not going to be a separate rule. It's this rule.
No, it's this rule. And I'm telling you two reasons why. One is that ra and il are savarna. That's one.
Right.
The second one is that this ra, they take it to refer to ra and la. Because they could have said run. If they said run, obviously, right, if I make the pratyahara run,
right,
that obviously includes ra and la. Everybody see that?
Yeah.
But I can make the pratyahara ra and have this be treated as an it letter instead of for just uchanana. Right? And because they've nasalized it, it is included as an it letter. If you take it as an it letter, as na is an it letter, okay, then you can say ra, and if I go from ra to here,
yeah,
it includes la.
So I get that, because the in la, the a isn't, is, you know, not taken to be the
yeah
letter, but when you say just ra, which is ra plus a, it will include ra and la.
That's right.
But where does the nasalization come in?
You know, part of the problem is that in the sutras themselves, the swaras and a lot of the nasalizations have fallen off in the sutras.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, what they say in the stories about Panini, I'll have to find this on, because Brahma Prakash tells this wonderfully. The sutras that were all collected, and they're all written on leaves,
And some goats ate a bunch of the leaves. And so when something is not clear, they say,
the goats ate it.
Look at the Sanskrit name for goat. It's something like gut. What's the Sanskrit for goat? I don't remember.
Chug.
I don't remember, but she is. Anyway, it'd be like saying if I said gudja, like elephant, gudja biksha. But the word, I think it's ajja. Ajja means goat. Ajja biksha. Yeah, ajja biksha. And so in the commentaries it'll say ajja biksha. You know, so there's certain things that are, the goats ate it. Yeah. In the very complex story of how these sutras were formed and passed on to this student and this student, and then all kinds of rakshasas came. It's very complicated. You know, and certain things got lost along the way and had to be retaught, and then they were retaught and all scribed down, and then the goats came, they scribed down on the banana leaves. And then the goats came and ate a bunch of them. So, and Brahma Prakash also said, you know, and it looks like that when you're studying, you can see there's some things, you know, that weren't touched on. So.
I'm not sure I understand why there's a difference between Brahm, which includes the la, and then the...
And this.
And the nasalized one.
There's no difference.
Oh, there's no difference, okay.
But in the sutra, this doesn't say ran paraha. It only says ra paraha.
Okay, so this winds up justifying that.
Exactly. Okay. It just justifies it. Since they didn't put a nakata there to make this include ra, right? And these are savarna. I mean, this is clear that the ra and la ill are savarna. And that this takes into account the nasal. In which case, then, this ill would be a, followed by its savarna. What would be the right letter of these, right, of the ra-paraha would be la. Because this includes ra and la, lakara. So this would be all. And this would be all. All by this sutra. But you have to understand these little tidbits here in order to understand how you get la, il, o, and all. Okay. It's kind of nice. You can see something here. It's just...
You know, the goats ate it.
Yeah, the goats ate it.
Just give you hope. Because we're in such a mess. And the goats ate it and left us chewing on it. That's true. But, you know, even then there were messes. They needed to be... Kind of like the dog ate my homework.
Yeah.
I couldn't bring it. I didn't understand it. The dog ate it.
So that's
it's the beginning of that excuse for students for generations to come. I wrote my homework on the banana leaf and the dog and the goat ate it.
Let me read you this paragraph, okay? This sutra is useful in fixing the proper substitutes for ra. Thus, there are only three guna vowels, a, a, and o. Of these, what is the proper guna for ra? By the application of the rule of nearness of place, sthane and taratamaha, we see that a is the nearest substitute. So that a is the guna of ra, and further, by this rule, this must have refa after it. Thus, though technically speaking, is the guna of ra, the actual substitute is utter. Thus, kre plus ta karta, similarly, harta. So now, let me get down to the other part. Okay, here we go. The ra in the text has been taken by some to be a pratyahara formed by the letter ra and a of lun. Okay? And thus it includes the letter refa and lakara. Okay? In that case, the sutra would mean that unsubstitutes of refa, of ra and la, are always followed by ra and la respectively. Okay, that's it.
But so in a way, doesn't that perfect the stani then? Because which is guttural. If you have this rule where the rapa follows, then for
it like
you wind up in the correct articulation in the same way with la.
That's exactly right. Yeah, because
A is a plus e, right? I is a plus u. Now this is a plus r. So it's the same, exactly the same. It's making a guna letter out of these in terms of the enunciation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is its own little diphthong. Yeah.
It's very and same with this. In the right place, so to speak, because the refa is mordanya.
Like. That's right. And exactly. Exactly. So it run exactly the right place and it's exactly the same fullness of sound. It's a guna sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same vriddhi. Right? A plus E, A plus U, A plus R, right?
So that, and then, so just to simplify, the translation for this sutra can really be when A and U replace R or L, and they are followed by R or L.
But you want to collapse it like, you want to say that with like a footnote.
Okay.
Because some people don't accept that.
That ra stands for both ra and la.
Yeah. But generally, accepted. That's why it's when I was reading it, some say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I gave the example here, Iko Yana Chi. Right? We've done this example many times.
Oh, that's not what I want, just a minute.
Maybe it's a wrong example.
Wrong example, yeah.
Sorry.
I'll correct that. Got the right example.
I haven't taught you that sutra, it's kind of odd gunaha, but we have to do that.
Yeah. So cross out that example, it's a mistake.
It was a cut and paste from one of the
Yeah.
We know cut and paste
first. That's exactly right. One too many. Let's go to the next sutra. Everybody okay? Take a look. We've talked about this in English, and this is the sutra for it. Now, in terms of numbers, we're making a skip. We had done some numbers in sequence, 1149, 1150, 1151. Now we're going down to another sequence of sutras that depend on each other for an anuvritti. Right? The anuvritti is what you're going to bring down from a previous sutra. What words you bring down. So here in this one,
oh no.
1166. I have to end the class early.
No.
Shaking stuff out of that, I get some more of this. Tasmin, I'm going to break the sandhi. Tasmin iti niradishte. Niradishte. Purvasya.
Is it big U or little U? In the breakup it says Purvasya and the other one it says Purvasya.
Purva is long U. You have to correct it.
In the
breakup it's long U. Thanks. Typo. Okay. Tasmin is just showing you the seventh case. Iti tasmin. So tesmin is seventh case, and it's being used technically.
Tesmin means seventh case, because this is seventh case for the pronoun that. So it's just...
Is tesmin another word for sexy?
No. Tesmin is, if I were to decline a pronoun, the pronoun tut, you have a learned pronouns. If I put the pronoun tut in the seventh case, it's tesmin. And so they're using this in this way.
Nirdishte is in the locative, that seventh case, but not being used technically. Just min means this. I'll show you. And then this is sixth case. Okay.
Well, it is being used technically. But it means like this. Nirdishta means to enunciate something or to... What word do they use? It means to point it out. Exhibit. Okay.
When exhibited in the seventh case, okay, tesmin just tells you seventh case, and it stands for anything.
Just like sarva means all, you know. So tut, if you take a pronoun and you say tut, tut stands, anything can be tut. So tesmin, when, you know, when any word is in the seventh case, okay? So when something is exhibited in the seventh case, okay, it is for what precedes. Purva is what precedes. So when exhibited in the seventh case, when it is exhibited in the seventh case, it is in the place of purva, see, sixth case, in the place of purva, what comes before? What becomes before it in the sutra? So now I can give my eko yonichi. Okay. We'll see. This is first case. This is a sutra, Ikkō Yenichi. We've looked at it in various contexts because it's such a useful one. This is seventh case. This is sixth case. This sutra is talking about the use, the technical use of the seventh case in a sutra. Okay. So this literally says, yan, the pratyahara yan, which are the semi-vowels, right? Is the audacia, first case, is audacia, is the substitute. Sixth case is the stani. Yen is the audacia for an ik letter. Sixth case. This is stani. Okay? This is audacia. What is in the first case is the audacia, the replacement. Sixth case is the thing being replaced. So yen is the replacement for an ik letter, when that ik letter is followed by uch. So this uch, this uch, when followed by uch, what is it going to be affecting? It's going to be affecting the letter that comes right before it, purvasya. Right? If something is in the seventh case, it's going to affect what comes right before it. So, for instance, if I said iti, for instance, and then I had ayam. Here we have an ik letter followed by an uch. Is an uch, the vowel, right? So you have an ik letter. In the place of an ik letter, when it is followed by an uch letter, right? Then what happens? There is a yen audacia for whatever is in the sixth case. So what is this? So we have in this sutra, Ikkō Yenichi, this seventh case is going to... be what we call the karana, the cause, the nimitta is the word I want. It's going to be the nimitta for what? It's going to be the nimitta for the letter that precedes it. And so here the uch, where's the uch letter? Here's the uchi. This letter is affecting the ik letter that comes right before it, purva.
So an Uch letter is coming after an Ik letter. So this Uch letter is going to affect that letter that comes right before it. It's not going to affect the E. It's not going to affect this letter. Right? It's going to affect this letter. Right? Which, so it's kind of telling you the obvious. You're looking puzzled.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll listen again.
No, look
sure,
it's
very simple. I just got lost.
This is what we call a Paribhasha Sutra.
Mm-hmm. Setup.
It tells you the rules. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's what this is. It's a rule that you're going to apply to the sutras when you read the sutras. So this is a rule that we're going to apply to this particular sutra, Ikoyanachi. What is the rule? It says that when the seventh case is used, exhibited, when something is exhibited in the seventh case, tasmin iti nirudishte, when it's exhibited in the seventh case, what does it affect? If you see, what is it, a nimitta, a cause for? If you see something in the seventh case, what is it going to affect? It'll affect what comes right before it. Okay? So it says here, if you see the seventh case used in a sutra, then whatever is included in that seventh case is going to affect whatever comes immediately in front of it. Purva means before.
Right.
And so say if I have the Sunday rule, say if I have a word like hari, for instance. Okay? And then I have following that hari ayam, the word this. So this is hari, okay? Here, I'm not doing the sarga though, so forget all that. Here we have a yam sandhi. We have a sandhi, an e plus an a. Okay? Or let me use, just because it bothers me not to be using a real word, real situation. I'll use itti. Here you have the word itti coming together with the word ayam. Two vowels can't come together. So we all know that just from learning without the sutras. If you had itti plus ayam, you would see ityayam, where this e would be replaced by ya. So ityayam, itti ayam. Right? It's called yan sundi.
Right.
So far, so good?
Yes.
Okay, now, it is this, when a sun, when this sundi is happening, two vowels have come together. This is directly following this e. Right? There's this e and then This e is purva to the
And ayam is in the seventh case there? What's in the seventh case? Something else for you
though. This is in the seventh case.
Ayam. Okay.
This, E, is in the sixth case. In the sutra. So in the place of an ik letter, which would be in iti, we have an ik letter. E is an ik, vajahara, right? Ayum relik. So it's a simple vowel, ik. Okay? So in the place of an ik letter, when it's followed by an uch, what's an uch? A vowel.
No. Right.
Okay. So when it's followed by an uch, like here, this word, ayam, this is followed by a vowel. Okay. So now this vowel, this is, we know that, so now we have an e and an a coming together. What happens? This is going to be replaced by a semi-vowel. Yan. Okay. Yan is a pratyahara.
Yes.
Yes. So what is the savarna letter, or the closest in terms of asya, not savarna, sorry. The closest in terms of asya?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So by that stane antaratamaha, the ya is going to replace this. So you have, this will be the completed sundi. Okay. Now all this is saying is that when there's the use of a seventh case, like here we're using the seventh case. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If we're using the seventh case, then what is that seventh case going to affect? What's it going to act on? What comes before? He said, whatever in the seventh case will act on what comes before, immediately before. Right? So what comes immediately before the uch in here is the e. This is what they mean. So this e is going to be purvasya. Purvasya. For what comes before, and this is going to be told by the achi. Okay. Because achi is seventh case. So when there is an uch, right, it will affect, it will be a nimitta for the yun to replace the ik. It will be a nimitta for what directly comes in before it, purva. So here, when something in a sutra, when something is indicated by the seventh case, tasmin iti nirdishte, then that is going to affect what comes right before it. So here, uch is indicated in the seventh case. That uch, the is going to affect what comes right before it, which is what? E. And that E will then, what will happen to it? The audacia. It'll be replaced by yun. Yeah? Clear?
So this is an elaboration. When you first talked about the Padibhashas, you said that
that
sixth case is going to change if it comes before, or if it comes after, it'll be a different...
Well, that's another sutra.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. When I did the technical uses of the cases, mm-hmm. I told you all this without,
right.
And I wrote the sutras, but I didn't go into the sutras.
Right.
These are the actual sutras
right.
that tell you that the seventh case is used, the wind follows, you know.
Right.
How do they say it here? When a term is exhibited in the seventh case in these sutras, the operation directed is to be understood as affecting the state of what immediately precedes that which the term denotes. Okay, but you have to kind of...
It means, in the seventh case, that it's immediately following the trigger, the nimitta, right?
The seventh case is the nimitta, right?
Okay.
For what directly comes before it.
Right.
So like you say, if an uch...
Say that again, that was a good way to say it.
The seventh case is the nimitta for what directly comes before it, right? It's the, I'm going to say again, the seventh case is the nimitta for the replacement audacia of what comes directly before it, right? Here's the replacement. When an uch letter comes right after an ik letter, this is coming purva, coming before the uch, then the yun, the audacia, is going to replace this, whatever's in the sixth case. Do you remember the preceding sutra on the top of the page? Shashti Stane Yoga? That defines, that's what we did last week,
mm-hmm.
where the sixth case
mm-hmm.
is used for the Stani, the thing that's going to be replaced. Now this next one, which is, then we did 1150, the next one down, to tell you something more about the Stani. That what is the thing that's going to be replaced? The audacia has to be as close, has to be as close as possible, the closest possible to the stani. That would be your choice of replacement. Then we did the uran raparaha, which is the next one, because it wants to say, yeah, but what about ura and il?
Mm-hmm.
You need
mm-hmm.
uran raparaha for that. And so it's done now. Now it wants to go on and tell you the seventh case, the use of the seventh case, right?
So can I just say something and you tell me if I'm saying it right
yeah.
or not?
Mm-hmm.
So we say that this 1166
mm-hmm.
is a Paribhasha Sutra, and now then we took the Ikonyan Achi
as an example
of where we would apply. So that
Achi.
Sutra applies to Ikonyan Achi.
Mm-hmm.
Then the example of Ikonyan Achi was in the vowel sandhi of Iti Ayam, right? So the vowel sandhi
yeah.
Iti Ayam is going to be dictated by Ikoyan Achi.
That's right.
And so that, okay.
That's why this Ikoyan Achi is called
yeah.
Yan Sandhi, right? We learned this when we
right,
did
right.
Yan Sandhi, because there's the yan. Yan is the audacia of the stani ik. When is it an audacia for this ik? When the ik is followed by an uch. So they say it in the other way. When an uch, when the uch is preceded, purva,
right?
When the uch is preceded by an ik,
yeah.
right, then the yin becomes the audacia. So in the sutra, When something is indicated in the seventh case, tasmin iti nirdishte.
So in that case, it would be achi, which is indicated in the seventh case. Mm-hmm.
Then it affects what? It's nimitta for what?
The purvasya. And so the purvasya for?
The purvasya is going to be the ik letter. And here there would be the e of iti.
But what comes right before achi is yan?
No. The yan is the replacement. If you have, here, look at, if you have these two words, iti and ayam,
yeah,
then this ach
right.
is going to affect, to trigger this sandhi. It will trigger the sandhi. Of what?
Yeah.
Of what comes before, it's nimitta.
Right.
Of what comes on, it triggers the, or the nimitta for this yan sandhi. And what is it for? For the letter that comes right before it, which is e. Now we know, since this ach has followed the e comes as purva,
yeah,
to the uch, the yan will apply.
It's a go-to statement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to say goodbye to
you. Okay for everybody?
Yeah.
Body clear. I'm Melissa. I want to do just one more sutra, because if we've got this, we'll be able to get the other one. We don't have to remember it so much. So let's do the very next sutra, 1.1.6.7. Tasmat, I'll break the sandhi. Tasmat iti. Tasmat iti utarasya. Utarasya. Niradishte is coming down as an anuvrti.
Yeah, can you hold on 1 second, please? Just want to write it down.
Tasmat iti utarasya with niradishte coming down as the anuvrti. So there's parallel structure here. Tasmat iti niradishte utarasya. Tasmin iti niradishte purvasya.
What tasmat, right? Not tasmat.
Oh, I just kept the part of the sandhi. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Tasmat iti utarasya niradishte. This niradishte is anuvrti, and it'll go right here. Right? So, tasmin iti nirdishte purvasya, for what comes before. Tasmat, the fifth case, nirdishte, tasmat iti nirdishte utarasya. When the fifth case is indicated, tasmat iti nirdishte. When you see the fifth case, not indicated, exhibited, okay?
Yeah.
Is used. When the fifth case is used, it is for what? Utarasya. What comes after?
So in both of them, it's implied that when seventh case is used for a sutra, or when fifth case is used in a sutra, that's implied.
In a sutra, yes, because paribhasha.
Right.
Paribhasha sutras are rules that you're going to apply in reading the sutras. Instructions, rules in the sense of instructions,
mm-hmm,
for how to read a sutra.
Mm-hmm.
So let me show you kind of a nice example. Ato visaha ice. Sorry, I remember on that, yeah. 719. Attaha, fifth case. Visaha, sixth case. eyes, first tense. This would be the audesha. Six cases, the stani. And fifth case is going to be the nimitta. Okay? And the this nimitta is going to affect what comes after. So let me just remind you of something. This is the instrumental plural, right? Instrumental plural of dibhakti, like hari bihi, guru bihi. Everybody remember that? Bihi? Hari bihi? Do you remember? You know what I'm talking about? If I decline an e or u ending noun, for instance, right? Hari, 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 yeah. Harim, hari, harin, hari na, hari, hari, bhyam, hari bihi. The is of this, the actual ending is not bihi, it's bis. And the is changes to the sarga. So if I decline this bis, it can either be an ablative or genitive singular, bisaha, right? Like a marutaha. So if I add a visarga onto the word bis, bisaha, it can be fifth case or sixth case. We're making it sixth case. Okay?
This doesn't have a...
It dropped because of sundi.
Okay.
The visarga drops because of sundi. A plus visarga plus invalid set a visarga drops. Okay. So if you're looking here, that visarga is not there. I wrote it, you know, pretty long. Okay. So in fact, if I were really complete, I would go like this. Ataha. Ataha, bisaha, ice for ato bisais. So now what I want you to remember is this. This is the third person instrumental plural. I mean, instrumental plural ending. So you would see Hari bihi, or guru bihi, or in all consonant endings, like jagat would be jagat bihi. It's always used. The ending is this. That is the ending. Except ramahi and neuter nouns. Palahi, except when the noun ends in short a. When the noun ends in short a, then bis is not the ending that's used. Ice is the ending that's used. Ice replaces bis. So now in this sutra, it says, following a short a, and this sutra is found where they're teaching you how to, in the section where they're teaching you how to do the vibhaktis. And remember I gave you that handout where it said su, au, just, you know, au, us, yeah. Like that. This is the actual vibhakti. This is the instrumental vibhakti. But when the noun ends in a, like rama or pala, this bis vibhakti is replaced by ice. That's because rama plus ice is ramahi. Pala plus ice is palahi. So what does this say? It says, after a short a, and you know that it's a short a because of the ta. The ta will make you have to keep the length of the letter exactly as it is. So here it says, after a ta, after an a, in the place of bis, the sixth case, the stani, in the place of bis, there is the audacia ice. That's how you go from, that's how with the ending nouns you get ramahi and everything else, including long, the feminines like sita, if I were to take like a long ending, kanya bihi. Kanya means a girl. Kanya bihi. So it's only for short endings. So fifth case. So what does this say? When, right? When the bis comes after the comes after an it is replaced by ice. So this fifth case is affecting uttara, what comes after. So you have like rama. So you here you've got your followed by the termination this to make an instrumental plural. So but this is here, this is being followed by uttarasya. Right? This is being followed by the bis. Okay? When it's followed by a bis, then that bis will be acted upon. It will be replaced by ice. So this, the is the nimitta for this replacement. What is the nimitta for the replacement of bis with ice? Shorta. So now the fifth case is a nimitta. Use of the fifth case is a nimitta for causing a substitution or a grammatical rule. Right? This is the nimitta for it. And so what is it? What is it causing? It's causing this to be replaced by us. So tasmat iti nirdishte, when the fifth case is indicated, it's uttarasya on what follows. Okay? We're done. Also, we say a prayer. Om Purnamidam Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.